welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm continuing on in a message entitled Choosing Sides. And what does that mean? Well, as Moses called out to God's people, remember he had been up in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord, receiving the law, and the children of Israel rose up to play. They were sinning, and he said, who is on the Lord's side? And the sons of Levi came, and many of the Israelites who had sinned so blatantly before the Lord met their death that day. Or so we can choose to be on the side of the Lord, or we can be on the side of the ungodly. And as we're finding out in the life of good King Jehoshaphat, that he, in spite of all the good things that he did, in spite of the mighty ways God blessed him and the incredible deliverances he received from the Lord, as we'll see as we go on in these few chapters about his life, he made a serious mistake by aligning himself, by going into affinity with the wicked king of Israel by the name of Ahab. And so we were looking at 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, and Ahab says that he will, I'm going to disguise myself, Jehoshaphat, and I tell you what you do. You put on your regal robes, go out there, and ride your chariot. Ahab knew what he was doing. He wasn't dumb, but Jehoshaphat said, okay, I'll do that. And because he was disguised, he'd removed his robes. And It says, the king of Syria in verse 30 had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. That was the primary objective, the primary target. And so when the captains of those chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they thought it was the king of Israel. And they compassed him about to fight him. And Jehoshaphat cried out, and God moved them to depart from him. And when they perceived that he wasn't the king of Israel, and they turned back from pursuing him. And then verse 33 says, a certain man drew a bow at a venture, smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. So what do we see? He went out in his royal array, and the king of Aram said, you know, only fight against Ahab. And what we actually see that, you know, when you do what the troops thought, that Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel. Obviously, he was the only one dressed in royal regal robes. So that's what happens when the devil would tell you, he said, you know, just do it my way. You won't get in trouble. But all he's doing is setting you up, just like Jehoshaphat was set up, because that was the command and he was the primary target. He knows you're going to get in trouble. But if you do it the devil's way, you will, if you compromise with the word of God. And so when they saw Jehoshaphat, they thought it was the king of Israel. They went after him to fight against him. When they saw it wasn't, then they, of course, stopped back from pursuing him. But Ahab thought he had it made. He thought he was quite clever. He disguised himself. He compromised. He thought he had it planned out really good. He said, I'll get away. But Jehoshaphat, he's going to be a likely target. And he said, what was his purpose? He was going to defeat that prophetic word given by the prophet Micaiah. That, you know, imagine his how incensed he must have been. How dare he have the unmitigated gall to tell me that they're going to kill me. I'm the king of Israel. They're not going to kill me. I am Ahab. However, beloved, regardless of how men fuss or fume. God said what he meant and meant what he said. God looked down on him, and even though he had on that disguise, you know, God doesn't need an army to fulfill his word. The amazing thing, there was a soldier who drew his bow at random. I mean, think of this. At least there would have been some honor if he died in mortal combat with an enemy opponent. He could at least die with some dignity, right? But what do we see? This man just drew his bow at random, wasn't aiming for him. He didn't even know what he was doing. He drew his bow, shot his arrow, and it just accidentally hit Ahab right in a soft spot of his armor. He was mortally wounded. So he tells the driver of his chariot, "Turn around, take me out of the battle. I'm wounded." And as the battle raged that day, the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans, and he died in the evening, and the blood from his wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. And then a cry passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, "Every man to his city, every man to his country." So the king died, as the prophetic word was declared, was brought to Samaria. They buried him, the king in Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. So, beloved, even though the prophet Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd," and the Lord said, "These have no master, let each of them return to his house in peace." What did the soldiers say? "Every man to his city, every man to his country." And so that word of the Lord came to pass. When God speaks it, it will happen. God will do what he said he would do. That prophecy couldn't be annulled. God's word will be fulfilled regardless. And when God tells you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, it doesn't mean that weapon may not be formed, but it's not going to succeed in the intended work of the enemy against you. What we have to do, beloved, is to believe what God says. God will not fail you. God is not going to let you go down to defeat. You just hang in there and trust the Lord. 1 Samuel 6:7 says, "God sees not as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." All of God's word is pure. It is incorruptible. God's word is unfailing. God never speculates. Did you hear that? Are you receiving that? God never speculates. He tells you he's going to do something, and he does it. In Deuteronomy 18:18-22, the word tells us how one can know whether or not a prophet is of the Lord. When a man or a woman prophesies what the Lord has given them and it comes to pass, that is a word of God that is going to be fulfilled. Now, sometimes there is a time factor involved, but that word also says in Deuteronomy, if it doesn't, then it's not of God. In this case, it was very clearly demonstrated who spoke in the name of the Lord. God did what he said he would do. And you know what, beloved? He hasn't stopped. He hasn't slowed down. He's still moving. He's still working according to his sovereign will. He knows the end from the beginning. Beloved, we are being called into a place of spiritual battle, I believe, such as we've not encountered. But we're encouraged by the word of the Lord through Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. So going back to our text, what do we see? The king died just the way God said he would. 400 lying prophets said, "Go up, you'll be victorious." But God said, "You go up there and you're going to die." And he died. So we've been taking a lot of time on this, but why is it so important? We see through the word of God, in as outlined in these chapters in 2 Chronicles, that Jehoshaphat was a good king. He had revival. He removed the high places out of Judah. But in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace. He went back to Jerusalem. Listen to this. It says, Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And so, it says, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and it continues to describe the things that he did during his reign. But this was a strong rebuke from the prophet, because what was his iniquity? He aligned himself with wicked King Ahab. And so, when we hear this word of the Lord, we must question that obviously God was not pleased with Jehoshaphat's alliance with Ahab. He was in trouble with the Lord. And remember now, he was a good king. He walked according to the ways of David. He took a stand against every form of idolatry. And as a result of his godliness, the fear of the Lord came on the nations all around him. They respected him. And instead of making war against him, they actually sent him gifts. The Philistines sent him much silver, and he was being, you know, when your man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. This nation enjoyed peace, and they enjoyed prosperity, and the king had riches and honor in abundance. Well, we're going to continue on, and we're going to see why was this included in Scripture. There could have just been the good things included about King Jehoshaphat, and he was a good king. Wonderful things happened during his reign, but it's important because the Word of God exhorts us, it reproves us, it gives us understanding, and the New Testament tells us these things in the Old Covenant were written for our examples, that we can learn wisdom and understanding, and so that's why we're taking the time we are to look at the dynamics that occurred when Jehoshaphat made this error to align himself with the ungodly. Well, my time is gone, and I'm bringing this broadcast to a close, and we'll just continue on tomorrow. I pray that you can be with us. If at any time you miss a broadcast or would like to re-listen, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. But for now, the announcer will give our contact information. I pray for you. I love you. Pray for you every day, my UCM partners and my radio family. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,